Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take. And this week, I reached out to Kim Jones, the executive director for NAMI Georgia, to talk about mental health during the pandemic that we hope is soon coming to an end. As things continue to open, it is a strange landscape in our public places. You know, mask or not to mask, some people are anxious about that. And being social with people after a year's lockdown is exhilarating, but sometimes it feels like sensory overload and it's a little scary. So, Kim Jones, welcome to The Local Take.
Thank you, Kiplin. So happy to be here.
What can you tell us about the mental health of our community during this time?
Well, Kiplin, I'm so appreciative that you've asked about this. This is unprecedented time, and those of us in the mental health community feel like that mental health could, and as many research shows, will be the next pandemic. As you mentioned, so many things are new to us. We've been isolated so long. We're coming out of our quarantine and meeting people that we haven't seen in person. And as you so eloquently mentioned, it's exhilarating. But then what we're seeing is people are experiencing more anxieties about that. You know, during the pandemic, if you lost a loved one, for example, you may not have seen that loved one for a while. You may not have been able to attend their funeral. Now, as people start going out and they're going back to family gatherings, you're realizing that your loved one isn't there anymore. And so the normal grieving patterns that one might have experienced outside of a pandemic are now coming back into play. So the research shows that this will be a time where people are experiencing more mental health difficulties. And I so appreciate you bringing this topic to the forefront.
Well, now, how long do you think it's going to take, you know, for us to get used to this new normal? I actually drove to my office some weeks ago and, you know, just being on the perimeter, I felt like the little old lady holding on to the steering wheel, like, please just get me there. And it really is kind of overwhelming. Will this go away once it gets to be a day-to-day activity?
Well, absolutely. Once we're more into our normal routines, I think the hard part will be, will we have a normal routine? I think setting our expectations is important, that, you know, if cases rise again, we may have to go back into some form of another new norm. But what we find when people are working to create patterns in their life and have a new norm is really setting routines, focusing on what you can control, taking breaks and having patience with yourself, and just understanding that, as you mentioned, this is a new norm. Things that we took for granted and did all the time are now, you know, as you said, you're driving for the first time and it just feels so surreal sometimes. And to just recognizing that, unfortunately, this is something as a society we haven't experienced in the way that we have in the same way that we have maybe with some of the past pandemics of the 1900s. So it's really hard to say. I haven't seen any literature or research that says it'll take this amount of time, but I think realizing that there is an adjustment there is really important for people's self-care, to understand that this is different. It will be different, and to have that self-acceptance and good health, mental health care for ourselves, to realize that this is something that has changed, and to recognize it and have the awareness and the acceptance of that.
Now, how can people in the general public tell when their mental health challenge means they need to seek assistance? Like, yes, you know, I was very anxious, my stomach was jittery, but once I made it to the office, I was all right. How would it manifest if it meant you might need to get some help? You know, even with depression, we all have, you know, a bad day or a bad couple of days. But how would you know you need to seek some help?
You know, just like physical health, mental health affects all of us. We have it each and every day. If we go running, then we're going to have a physical health experience. For me, I'm going to be breathing really heavy. So mental health is the same way. We experience different mental experiences throughout our days and throughout our lives. So, you're very accurate in expressing that that is something that we deal with on a regular basis. It's when it affects your life. And when I say affects your life, that it is affecting your relationships, it's affecting your job, it's affecting whether you go out and do things that you used to enjoy or whether you don't go out and do things that you enjoyed. And usually if your symptoms show for over several week periods and it's impacting your life, that's when you want to reach out and seek help.
Now, I just happened to be in the emergency room a few days ago, and there was a young man ahead of me, African-American man, definitely under 30. And he, when, you know, I heard him when he went up to the counter, he said, "I need some mental health assistance." He says, "Things are getting harder." And now I didn't know that if you were experiencing that kind of challenge, you could just go to the emergency room.
You can. The emergency room is where we go for any health issue that we have, and we see mental health as a health, just like your pancreas is a part of your body. For if you have diabetes, your brain is a part of your body if you have a mental health condition. So you can go to an emergency room and request help. There's also the Georgia Crisis and Access Line that you can call. And I'm happy to give you that number after this call so you can share it. But the Georgia Crisis and Access Line actually have therapists and providers there who answer the phone who can provide you care as well. But any time that you don't feel safe or you're experiencing help, the emergency room is the place that you can go. We find that sometimes emergency rooms aren't as well equipped as we feel like they should be. But any time anybody is experiencing any health issue, the emergency room is a good place to go.
And I'll give that number. It's the Georgia Crisis and Access Line, and it's 1-800-715-4225. And that number is available statewide in Georgia. So, Kim, that brings me to the next question. Some people are finding it hard to engage with a therapist. You know, they recognize their symptoms have lasted too long. You know, they want to find someone to talk to, but then it's kind of hard to find a therapist. Can you give us any advice about that?
Unfortunately, Georgia ranks 51st in access. So sadly, that's not surprising. One of the things that I would recommend is to reach out to your local NAMI. And that is kind of the secret sauce to our local affiliates, is they are people who have a lived experience who can connect you to resources that they have tried and have experienced with themselves to get you connected as quickly as possible. There are also local CSBs that you can reach out to. But unfortunately, here in Georgia, being 51st in access, we have a workforce shortage in care people providers of mental health experience. In my own experience with my loved one, it took 2.5 months to find a provider. And if you are experiencing a mental health problem, that is way too long. So one of the recommendations that I often make to people is, if you are experiencing any type of mental health issue, reach out before it becomes a crisis. Don't wait before you really are in crisis, because it may take you a minute to get to a doctor, and you'd much rather get to a caregiver before having to go to an emergency room, for an example.
Now, if you have access and you're trying to choose a professional to work with, what are some of the things that you should look for? What are some of the questions that you should ask?
I think reaching out to someone who you connect with, and sometimes you may be paired up through your insurance agency or through the care provider you use with somebody that you just don't connect with, and that is okay. And I think sometimes people don't realize that. But I think asking for somebody who is culturally competent in your area of culture is important to make sure that they can understand and have similar experiences, but also finding someone that you can relate to and not being discouraged if you meet with somebody and you're just like, you know, I just don't feel good about talking to them. That is okay. What we encourage is that you keep looking, ask to see if there's somebody else that you can speak to, but don't give up. We always want you to go back and find, you know, mental health is sharing some very personal experiences. And if you feel like you're meeting with somebody and you just are not connecting, always ask for somebody else.
Now, we've mentioned NAMI, and I've said NAMI Georgia, and you're talking about NAMI. For our listeners who don't know NAMI, can you tell us what it is?
Sure. The National Alliance on Mental Illness is the largest grassroots organization to help advocate, support, and educate people affected by mental health. So at the state organization, we do a lot of advocacy work with our legislators, and we are claiming that the legislative year of 2022 will be the year for mental health. But at the local level, we also provide a lot of education, support groups. We will come to companies and give presentations. We will come to school systems, YMCAs, and where you can find people who are also experiencing mental health conditions and or family members who are caring for other people with mental health conditions to help learn best practices and ways that you can better take care of yourself, help take care of your loved one, where to find support, where how to advocate within your community to get more physicians and more people in your community to find care.
And now, how can our listeners engage with NAMI and take advantage of the resources that you all provide?
We have 20 affiliates across the state. So there are many locations within Georgia that have a local NAMI affiliate. And you can find those by going to our website, which is at NAMIGA, that's NAMIGA.org. And you can find a local affiliate there.
Well, Kim Jones, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to share this information with us today. It is, as I mentioned, wonderful getting back out, but it's also just a little bit uncomfortable. And, you know, it's funny being uncomfortable doing things that we used to do on an everyday basis.
Right. And Kipling, one more thing I would just like to let your listeners know about. Each and every year we have a NAMI Walks, and you guys have been partners with us before on that. And this year we're holding it on October 9th, and we are doing it hybrid. And that is just another great place if you have anybody who has experienced a mental health condition. You know, we want to stomp out the stigma of mental health, and it's a great place to go and walk and be with people who can support people with mental health and just kind of make it loud and proud that mental health is just like any other condition. So I really encourage anybody to participate in that as well as a way to help us raise awareness for mental health.
And now, Kim, how did you come to do this work?
Well, actually, I am the proud mother of a child with a mental health condition, and he was born prematurely. And we had several doctors and several health issues that we were having to work on. And it wasn't until we found out that my child had a mental health condition that all of a sudden I saw the drastic difference in how he received care for his physical health and how he received care for his mental health. First and foremost, I think he had probably at least 7 doctors at that time. And at every appointment, I was sharing, there's something not right here. Something is off, you know, and I would share different things that were happening in the home, whether, you know, he was just crying all the time or wouldn't follow things that I asked him to do. He wouldn't wear clothing. And all of the doctors kept telling me he'll just grow out of it. And so in hindsight, I see there was a lack of awareness on their part of understanding that this child might have a mental health condition. We had the same experience in the school system. And then finally, when his cardiologist referred us to, referred us to a doctor who had just been in his office doing a research project on congenital heart defects and mental health. And luckily, we were referred to Emory, and that's when my son was first diagnosed. However, it took me and Emory 2.5 months to find a doctor for him. And this was a child who was really struggling with cutting and suicide ideation. And we had to wait 2.5 months. And that was with extensive research of calling people and being told they weren't accepting new patients or our insurance, for whatever reason, didn't work there. So that was how I got involved, is just through that experience It just felt wrong. So that's how I became involved in NAMI.
Well, we are thankful to have someone with your experience advocating on our behalf. Thank you so much for sharing with us this morning.
Well, thank you, Kipling. I appreciate it.
We've been talking with Kim Jones, the Executive Director for NAMI Georgia, about mental health during the pandemic.